Joy Rutt will come and share our gospel reading.
This is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" And Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Thanks be to God.
This reading is always the story that begins Lent. Whether it's from Matthew, Mark, or Luke, it varies each year. But we always begin with the wilderness. The story says the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. In each of those Gospels, each time, this story always comes immediately after Jesus' baptism. Our church calendar and the lectionary schedule of readings can make us miss that connection, because baptism usually comes back in January sometime, and they save this for Lent. But in the gospel narrative, Jesus had just had this incredible, powerful spiritual experience when he was baptized. Remember? He comes up out of the water, the Spirit of God descends on him like a dove. He hears God's voice saying, "This is my chosen one, my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately, the gospel says, the Spirit led him into the wilderness. Mark's gospel even uses the word, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Across the Jordan River, from the place where John, legend tells us, John did his baptizing, so where Jesus was baptized, right across the river is the rocky, barren Judean wilderness. I've heard the story. The fable is that when God was creating the world, an angel was sent out with three bags of rock to scatter across the world, and two of them broke over Israel and Palestine. Very rocky. It is a place where even today a person alone can get into a lot of trouble. Not a lot of water, certainly not food, wild animals. Story says he was there for 40 days. 40 is always a number of fullness, of completion. It's also the number that's at the outer limits of a healthy person's ability to survive without food. The story says he fasted all that time, and at the end he was famished, starving. It was a vision quest, a spiritual search, looking for direction, for guidance, for an even deeper connection with the God who had spoken to him at his baptism. He must have been seeking to understand more fully. What did those words mean? Who was he? What was he supposed to do? I don't know about you, but I do not believe that Jesus had it all figured out on day one. I believe his self-understanding grew and evolved, and that we can see that through the gospel stories, and that this was one of those absolutely pivotal pieces in that process. At the end of 40 days, when all his reserves were gone, the tempter came to him. That's how it happens, isn't it? When we're tired and hungry, when we've given all we feel like we have to give, that's when we're tempted. If you're like me, that's when I tend to lose it. We lose control of our emotions, we lose control of our words. To use that phrase that came up in the last few weeks, we get very dysregulated. We do and say things we don't mean to. The tempter, however we understand what that means, the devil, the adversary, came to Jesus challenging him with these questions about who he was and what he was meant to do. What was the meaning of his life? Did God really love him? Did he really have this mission from God? If you are the Son of God, don't get tripped up with some inner theological debate about what Son of God means or the masculine language. Try this. If God is with you, if God loves you, if God has a purpose and a mission for you, these temptations are at their heart, I think, were about questioning God's love and presence with him, and about the temptation to use his power and his connection with God for self-preservation, self-promotion, self-protection. We know about these struggles. Does God really love me? Is God with me even when I'm in the midst of the wilderness, even when I'm going through a desert time, when my strength is gone and I feel alone? Is the Spirit of God with me when all I can feel is absence, emptiness, grief? Is God with me in those times, not just when I'm full of joy? Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Blessed are those who are struggling with pain and grief, those who feel like they have lived too long in the wilderness, who long for the promised land but feel they can never get there. The wilderness comes to us in a lot of ways, doesn't it? It comes to us individually, but it also comes communally, even globally. We've been living through a global wilderness time. Times of grief and sorrow, times of struggle and uncertainty, times when the world around us seems to be going in the wrong direction in many ways. There's a lot of that right now, isn't there? Climate crisis, violence, the war in Ukraine, and all those smaller wars that our media just chooses to ignore. Poverty, inequality, craziness in our politics. There's a lot that can weigh us down and make us feel like we're living in the wilderness. As we come to the end of Black History Month this year, it is a time when, once again, the value of even acknowledging and learning about African American experience is under attack, isn't it? Racist, white supremacist ideas wrapped in the guise of patriotism, insisting that American history must be taught in ways that won't make white people feel uncomfortable. We're not talking about 40 days in the wilderness. We're talking about 400 years, right? But if we don't just live in denial of all this, we might find ourselves crying out with the psalmist, "How long, O Lord, how long?" Or, how do we sing the Lord's song in this strange and foreign land? So although we can be tempted to despair, to lose faith, I think there is one thing we can surely take from this story. Jesus has been here. Jesus knows what these times feel like. We are not alone, even when we may feel abandoned. The Spirit is always with us in the hard times, as I said to the kids. The Spirit of God does not forsake us, whether we can feel that or not. That is here in this story of Jesus, and it is the testimony of millions of people of faith. It is certainly the testimony of the Black church from slavery through Jim Crow right up till today. The Spirit of God is with the oppressed, the broken, the grieving, the suffering. Jesus goes with us into the wilderness, into the desert places of our lives, the desert places of the world. The Lord will make a way somehow. Jesus walked this lonesome valley. We've come this far by faith. Precious Lord, take my hand. The spirituals sing it over and over again. God is with us in the wilderness. Jesus is with us in the struggle, and there is comfort for those who grieve and mourn. Weeping lasts for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy and I were part of a Bible study on Thursday where we wrestle with this beatitude. And part of what we were discussing was the way that sorrow and being able to feel and know our grief and sorrow carves out the room, the space in us for joy. If you block off the sorrow, you also don't know the joy. You just live kind of flat. Black worship knows something about that, that a lot of white mainline worship is afraid of, right? Yeah. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And there is more in this story, because Lent also calls us to remember that there are gifts that we can receive in the desert that we cannot get anywhere else. Sometimes the world drives us into the desert, but the Spirit also invites us to go voluntarily, of our own choosing, to turn our eyes from this world and seek what can only be found in the realm of the Spirit. As we simplify, clean out, strip down to the essentials, make those steps toward more solidarity with the poor, with the grieving, as we make this journey of self-discovery in the desert, we get clearer about who we really are and whose we are. We learn what we really need. We learn what really matters and what does not. To use the image from Paula Houston's resource book that we're using, we're invited to move from the oasis of so much stuff and so much information and noise that we live in most of the time and make our way into the desert, into simplicity, into quiet, into solitude, to simplify our souls and seek what our souls really need, what we truly are longing for in the depths of our hearts. And the promise is, when the time is right, when we are ready, when our hearts have been broken open, the angels come. Unexpected, not always easy to see, but God's messengers come to offer us hope, to offer us peace, to offer us strength, and to offer us joy. We can't find those gifts without going to the desert. Let us walk forward with courage into this season of our life, open, letting go of all that traps us, ready to receive what God gives. Amen.